direction in a sea of chaos. Welcome to Abounding Grace. Join us now with Pastor Chris Gordon as we open the Word of God.
Thank you for tuning in today to Abounding Grace Radio. We're continuing our study of John chapter 3 with this fascinating character, Nicodemus, and how Jesus interacts with Nicodemus and gives him this very powerful statement. In John chapter 3, beginning at verse 3, Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Now, we have been unpacking that this week on Abounding Grace, looking in depth at what that is and how crushing that was for Nicodemus, a Pharisee, who had thought that his righteousness came through the law and by law keeping. And Jesus has ripped away all of his religious acts, all of the things done, his even own teaching on how to help people come into the kingdom. Jesus says, none of that means anything, Nicodemus, unless you are born again by the Spirit. Now, we picked up yesterday with Nicodemus's question in verse 9. Nicodemus answered and said to him, "How can these things be?" And Jesus answers and says, "Are you a teacher in Israel and do not know these things? Most assuredly, I say to you, we know and testify what we have seen, and you do not receive our witness." Now, this was a big moment. What was Nicodemus asking? How can these things be? Best translated, how can this happen? The key to understanding this question is Jesus' response. We know and testify what we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. It's interesting, it's in the plural. We know, we testify. Well, we looked at, what's that a play on? Verse 2, Nicodemus had approached Christ, and what did he say? "Teacher, we know that you are a teacher come from God." Nicodemus had come to Jesus as a smug Pharisee, and we're getting a sense of how he approached. "We know you're a teacher." He was full of self-righteousness. And Jesus is, in a sense, mocking his unbelief. "Are you a teacher and do not know these things? We know and testify what we have seen." So Jesus has something to say about the very division that Nicodemus made. Jesus had already said in verse 6, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." So in other words, the whole religious heads of Christ's church, the Pharisees, were of the flesh, and Christ is making this crucial distinction between those who are alive and those who are dead. People think they're alive, but Jesus' characterization of the human race after the fall is that they are all dead men walking. In fact, that's exactly what Ephesians 2 says, "And you who were dead in trespasses and sins." Those who are alive are able to know and live in spiritual things, but the natural man cannot. Those born of the flesh. So here's the real painful thing, is that the dead one before Christ was a leader in Israel. Jesus had been describing the need for the new birth, and Nicodemus now asks about what it is. And Jesus essentially says, "You don't know, Nicodemus? You teach people about entering the kingdom and you don't even know how that occurs? The most basic truth about entrance, you don't understand?" You know, it would be like saying to a pastor, "You're a teacher of justification by faith alone, and you don't know that that comes by Christ's righteousness imputed to your account, not your own?" See, Nicodemus had just said to Jesus that he was totally unfamiliar with what the evidences of the new birth are. His question was one of confusion. "How do I know this is possible? I haven't seen this. How can these things be? There's been no evidence of what you're talking about." And Jesus says something very powerful here. He says, "We testify to it and have seen it, and you don't believe it. Now, what's going on here? This is so important. A lot of commentators say that Jesus was referring to the divine council when he said, "We know, the Trinity knows," chiding Nicodemus for not understanding earthly things like the need to be born again. But the new birth is something that in fact comes from heaven. Jesus is here speaking on behalf of those whom he has transformed, who know exactly what the new birth is, the children of the Spirit. Let me give you an example. You're speaking to your pagan neighbor about the changing power, the life-changing power of the gospel. And you begin to describe how it frees people from their misery, how it saves them from their sins, how it provides in this very hard, sinful life, real and lasting happiness and fulfillment in this sad world. What's he going to say? How in the world does that happen? I've never seen that. And you say, "Oh, no, 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 but it's true. Come meet a whole bunch of people who can testify to it." And that's what I say that the Linden URC, where I pastor, I say we have to maintain that strong witness to the world, that we show them that we are transformed by the power of the Spirit and what a transformed life looks like in the way that we love one another and in the way that we care for seeing the gospel go to the ends of the earth. You see, now a person can listen to that testimony that somebody has. And remember, the whole Christian gospel and community is based on advancing that witness. So they can listen to it or they can reject that testimony. Jesus is saying, "Nicodemus, look all around you. Open your eyes and see what my life transforming power is doing to people, Nicodemus. It's putting an end to them. And it's raising them anew." You see, he had all of these disciples there in front of him, Jesus did. And in the very next chapter, he's going to transform a woman at the well who had five husbands, who was full of adultery. And his whole ministry will be to impart life by the Spirit to needy sinners, to the prostitutes and the tax collectors. And through his resurrection, he's the life-giving Spirit, the second Adam. So you have this twofold problem in Nicodemus. He had no idea of what the new birth was, and he refused to receive the evidence all around him of Christ raising new creatures, making them new creatures in him. You see, this is something, radio listener, you have to consider. How big of a problem is this? Isn't it striking that Jesus showcases a Pharisee to demonstrate this very truth? That it's possible to be a, quote, believer and have no idea of what the new life is, even though all around him there are the evidences of Christ transforming power in the lives of those who do hear and bear witness to that. You know, in the life of the church, you see them. They're growing in their love for the word, and they are changing. And as the elders, you know, we witness this and we're full of joy. And in many people, it just glares. But is it true of every follower of Jesus, every, quote, believer? Could it be that some come week after week and sit and in the worship services and still don't know what the life-transforming change is, the new birth of what Jesus describes here? And they refuse to see their own need for it? And they refuse then to look at the witness and the lives of those all around them in whom it's happened and who are filled with the joy of Jesus Christ. What a tragedy that would be. Well, if that suggestion troubles you, meet Nicodemus. This whole section was a sort of rebuke. Are you a teacher in Israel and don't know this? You don't know what the evidences of the new birth are? I could substitute that and you could put yourself in this very line here. Are you in the kingdom? Are you a part of a church? Are you a pastor? Fill it in. And don't know the evidences of the change? You see? Nicodemus was a Pharisee. And he should have known this from the Old Testament. Look, I know there's been a lot of question about the Spirit's presence in the Old Testament. And I don't know what's so confusing. Sure, Pentecost ushered forward the Spirit, and he was poured out in abundance to all the nations. But the whole Old Testament teaches the absolute necessity of what we call regeneration, the new birth, and over and over and over again, it shows it to us. In fact, Jesus' statement here totally presupposes it. It belongs as a gift of the covenant of grace to us. Remember Genesis? Remember that scoundrel Jacob, whose very name meant deceiver? There were many times, you know, I studied the character of Jacob and I thought he was changed, but there's one moment that stands out. It was on that dark night when a man wrestled with him until daybreak, the Lord Jesus Christ. And what did he do? What did Christ do to Jacob? Well, he dislocated him so that all that Jacob could do was cling with his arms. And that's where every sinner must come. All of his strength must be taken so that all he can do is cling. And right then and there, Christ changed his name to Israel. Remember that? God overcomes. Israel means he overcomes hard hearts is what he overcomes. And you see this over and over. Abram to Abraham, Saul to Paul. He changes us. And you know, you go through Exodus and you see this in real power. Israel was full of bitterness and complaining. And all they wanted to do was go back to their bondage. They were brought out from all that bondage, and they said, just take us back so that we may go to the pots of meat. I mean, it was a real, real sad time in Israel's history. And all the while, the command was, look at what the Lord had done for you. Love the Lord your God with all your heart. Did you see that with them? Moses says, all your complainings are an attack against him. What had to happen to Israel? It's what the Lord announced in Deuteronomy. Remember, he had given the call. Therefore, circumcise the foreskin of your heart and be stiff-necked no longer, for the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords. The great God, mighty and awesome. Did they circumcise their hearts? Who did it? You see, it was a ministry of death under the law. But then the Lord made that grand announcement. Deuteronomy 30, and the Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your descendants to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul that you may live. So the Lord announced to Israel, I've seen what you do, and under the law you're doomed. I have to circumcise the foreskins of your hearts, or your life will be driven by misery and darkness and bitterness and complaining. You see, when you read in the Old Testament, the circumcision of the heart, that's the new birth. That's regeneration. Nicodemus, that's basic to the Christian gospel. You need to be born again. It's a doctrine bound up with God's covenant of grace, that he would do this for us, that the seed who is Christ would bring this new life to us. So Jesus exposes Nicodemus's heart, that it's void of the principle of life, so that he couldn't even see his own need. And yet all these people were coming and falling upon Jesus, believing in him and receiving that new birth so that they were given life in their hearts. My friend, where do you stand today? Maybe you're like Nicodemus, who go through life and you can't see your need. You see, Jesus is saying here, you must believe and rest in him. And when that occurs, you can be assured that you have been given new life by the powerful Holy Spirit. Abounding Grace Radio is brought to you by the United Reformed Church here in Linden. We are a church where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught. As always, we do give you an invite to join us for worship. 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. are the worship service times. The website is www.lindenurc.com. Even a blog there that you can interact with. Lots of resources there for you. 360-318-0429 is the phone number. Thanks for tuning in. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and all of its glory continue to richly bless you.